Hello again, this is Your Politics, the RTE Politics Team Weekly podcast coming to you from our studio here in Leinster House. I'm Áine Lawler, with me Joe McGraelig, Sandra Hurley and Micheál Lehane. It's kind of a funny feeling, isn't it, Joe, this Thursday? It's been a bit of a flat week after the budget and even the phone pouch row died down.
Yeah, the phone pouch row, which was the subject of a motion in the Dáil from Sinn Féin during the week. But I suppose it had been overtaken a little bit by the issues surrounding the Michael McMonagle case. But it was interesting. Myself and Micheál were in the office late last night.
Because good man, working hard.
Every night, Joe.
Well, it's important to point it out. But we were there to see, because there was Dáil action scheduled right up till midnight. And the voting of a Wednesday night was supposed to get underway at 11:30. It actually got underway at about 9 o'clock, maybe 9:10. It was all finished by 9:30. And that's just, I think it's kind of indicative that at the moment around here, concentration isn't really on what's going on in the chamber. It's more people concentrating on what's going on the ground and in the constituencies. You know, there's that sense that people aren't really engaging in parliamentary work, you know, the high work of parliament. Yeah. Albeit, you know, that there were some very important bills and some very important exchanges in the Dáil this week.
We'll come to some of those in a bit, but I suppose the opposition would say, wouldn't they, Sandra, that, you know, this is on the government, it's, you know, they're guillotining bills and, you know, we'd be happy to stand around here for hours longer talking about things. On the other hand, Willie O'Dea did warn, didn't he, that if an election wasn't called sooner rather than later, this is what would happen. You'd start getting a very empty chamber.
Yes, and it's been that way ever since the Dáil has come back a couple of weeks ago. It has been more flat. There's fewer people around. There's definitely a sense that they are down in their constituencies. They're certainly all operating on the basis that the election could well be called later this month and it could happen next month. A TD told me today, everyone has a theory. The ushers come up to them. Everybody's got a theory. There's just endless speculation about it. And I think next week now, it seems that they're going to push through the social welfare bill, all stages. It's going to be guillotined. The finance bill might take a little longer, but really the thinking now seems to be two more weeks, then you're into the recess anyway and probably call the election.
And what was it Matty McGrath said, Micheál?
Let the dog see the rabbit.
People are demented, he said. Demented, yes. Politicians, and that's kind of sums up, I suppose, where they are at. Yeah.
And the glimpse of posters would only have added to that feeling of frenzy.
Fantastic story by Fiacre O'Kioni, finding the Fianna Fáil poster and slogan in an industrial estate. Moving forward together is the key phrase for Fianna Fáil this time. But of course, the party says this doesn't mean anything. They'd be preparing 6 months out anyway. But of course, we all sense that things are imminent. Although today on that key question, the finance bill is published. Some things are notable. It's not a slimmed down document. It's in keeping with other years, 200 pages plus. So they didn't go that route to ram it through that this really small finance bill. The second thing is, although it does go into the Dáil next Wednesday for second stage, the key date is the 5th of November. That's when it goes to committee. It's meant to be there the 5th, 6th and 7th. Micheál Martin has said in the last hour or so, that is the target date and no one has suggested otherwise. So what is this really? Well, this is brinkmanship, you feel, between Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, and he's waiting for the young, energetic Taoiseach to make the move and call it. And he's ready for that, but he's going to let him do it and everything proceeds as normal. Interestingly, 2 weeks ago when Simon Harris spoke about the finance bill, he said the timing and order in which the finance bill goes through is a matter solely for the finance minister. So does he give a hint before that or does he wait until it goes through? If he waits until the 6th, 7th, well, then it's not a November election, is it? It isn't. It's early December. It would have to be then.
The other issue that's been tantalising TDs around this place, Joe, and senators, actually, I should add, is the question of Agent Cobalt after John Mooney's story in the Sunday Times.
Yes, indeed. That was the story that it has been flying around Leinster House for the last couple of days. Obviously, Sunday Times story was out there. Everyone was agog at what it contained. And everyone was, I presume, texting on their phones to try and find out. I certainly had some conversations with people to see who this might be. Now, you know, there's names flying around, but nobody has
Don't
actually
go there,
known
Joe.
Them. And we certainly aren't going to do it.
Danger here is George Hamilton.
Yes, indeed. But the pressure is now coming on from other TDs and senators for this to be clarified, because of course,
they started at it, didn't they, Timmy Dooley?
They did last night.
So concerned was Timmy that there could be a stain upon the house, upon the upper house.
Yeah,
he began a roll, but it only went to himself and Fiona O'Loughlin, Jerry Buttermer, and Malcolm Byrne.
Malcolm Byrne, and they stopped there, yeah.
They didn't continue this morning, so...
Yeah, it's interesting.
There are 220, of course,
there's,
across the Oireachtas.
There's differing views of how serious this is as well. You know, I mean, you can certainly see the Taoiseach speaking in the States said it's been treated very seriously and they're looking at it very seriously, and that, you know, this was something mm-hmm. that you have to be very much aware of. The Taoiseach, on the other hand, in the Dáil earlier, was saying that he's not so sure that there's an awful lot to this, and
well, yeah, didn't he say so, if there is a Russian agent in this house, he hasn't been briefed about it. Now, he's the Minister for Defence, so you'd imagine...
And Taoiseach during the period as well, so he would have thought that something would have come his way. And what really does seem to be alarming him, that if there is something, and he does seem to be hinting, it's more along the order of someone who may have had a conversation with someone rather than a spy who's reporting back to an overhead or something like that, that how was this information... didn't make its way up to the higher echelons in politics, up to the Taoiseach's office, but did make its way out through another channel. This seems to be concerning him more so from a security point of view. And of course, that's all in the context of the state going to develop kind of a security strategy. And I suppose it would kind of, would it make the likelihood of an Oireachtas committee or some type of political committee overseeing all this more unlikely if it's already proved to be a leaky ship before the politicians get in on it at all?
So is the Taoiseach saying that he hasn't been briefed at all? He hadn't heard anything about this
nothing
in the past?
It.
Nothing at all. Right, okay.
But you
yes,
have had a few people asking for this to be taken a bit more seriously. I mean, we all know it's kind of outlandish and it's sort of convulsed the place over the past few days.
Well, it's not beyond the bounds of possibility. We know, for instance, about Russian interference in, you know,
yes.
elections in other states. There have been warnings. We know about our critical position on the edge of Europe. We know about all the cables. There's been lots of stuff about the size of the Russian embassy here and, you know, the bona fides of everyone who was working there on different occasions and so on and so forth. So it's not exactly beyond the bounds of possibility.
No, completely. And I think that is the point that some politicians have been making. We heard from Labour's Duncan Smith and Ivana Bacic earlier this week, and Duncan Smith in particular was making the point that he wanted to know, you know, what's the plan here? How are we going to address this? Because it's casting aspersions on everybody in the Dáil and the Shannon, and we should really be dealing with this. And yes, it has been a source of fun, as particularly I think the element, the sort of honey trap element in it, and people
and
speculating.
And the big ego. Don't forget about the big ego.
Yes, yes. And the name, even Cobalt as well.
Does Big Ego narrow it down at all?
There's the other side of it, though, of course, as well. Somebody is now dealing with this allegation, and there's a lot of personal fallout to have such an allegation leveled against you, especially, you know, with honey traps and all the rest of it. You know, there's impacts in your personal life and your family life and all that sort of thing as well. So, you know, these things shouldn't be put out there lightly, and certainly if, you know, they can't be entirely treated lightly either. But
it could be, though, that someone was having a conversation with someone and was warned off that but by the Gardaí and just didn't really take that warning perhaps as seriously as the Gardaí felt they should have.
So that
could be at the core.
And there's no allegation of money
there's
being exchanged.
There's no criminal allegation at all.
No. So
that could be a very casual contact that suddenly transmogrifies into something very, very serious. And would an Oireachtas member necessarily take word from the Gardaí, you shouldn't talk to such and such a person? You know, they might have to interrogate that themselves.
That
as
seems
well.
To be what's
but we'll
troubling
what
the
happens.
Taoiseach, that if it was a really alarming situation, it should have gone up the political chain at some level. It should have, but you'd expect that it would have.
Mm.
And not ended up in a newspaper. Mm. All right. Of course, we were talking earlier, Taoiseach Simon Harris, he was in the United States this week. A lot of focus on that meeting with Joe Biden, given the escalation of Israel's campaign in Lebanon. And did we get much clarity on the question about did he put it up to Joe Biden in the way that, you know, Emmanuel Macron was very clear about Israel, no point in giving them arms and calling for a ceasefire at the same time.
I mean, it seems that he didn't. He spoke to reporters on the way in. He was repeatedly asked by journalists, are you going to call on the US to pull back from arming Israel? And he kept sidestepping the question. And eventually he said it's not for one country to sort of dictate to another how to handle their foreign policy. Then he came out, And he told reporters that he'd been briefed on the very substantial phone call, his words, between Benjamin Netanyahu and Joe Biden. You look at the readout of that call, there's no mention of a ceasefire. So did he put it up to Joe Biden? It doesn't seem that he did. And certainly other political parties, Sinn Féin today, Matt Carthy and People Before Profit, are saying that he sort of missed an opportunity here, that he should have been pushing a lot harder.
And the impact of this, Joe, is more serious when you consider, you know, again, the reaction this afternoon to the news coming out of Lebanon, that UNIFIL positions have been fired on by the IDF.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've spent the week worried about the Irish troops down there on the Blue Line and with the Israelis right beside them. Now, you know, Simon Harris spoke to the General Secretary of the UN on, was it Monday night, Tuesday night? And there was a result out of that. The Israelis did actually move from being based adjacent to that base. But now, obviously, a much more serious development today, that there seems to have been what's been said is deliberate targeting of a couple of these outposts along the Blue Line. So that is a very, very serious development. And it's obviously, Irish troops weren't affected. I think they're Italian troops, and there's a couple of them in hospital as a result of it. But the potential is there. And that just shows you, when you're in that cauldron and the UN and Irish troops are in the middle between Hezbollah and the Israelis, that danger is there. And the danger, I mean, there's always a level of danger, but it's accentuated hugely now because of the conflict that's going on and because of this, you know, this determination by both sides that they're not giving in to one another, you know, and it really doesn't matter who's in the way.
Striking contribution from Carl Berry in the Dáil earlier, though, about the way the Irish troops held out over the past few days, and that would have stiffened the resolve of people in other posts. And also saying that history turns on small hinges sometimes. He thinks that is such a key moment, and essentially said it sends out the message there will be no more Srebrenicas, at least not on our watch. So a big, big moment, something that Carl Berry, whose experience in the field, I think, captured very well. The Taoiseach extremely concerned about this earlier, saying that there were cameras knocked out as a result of some of the firing. That could have been what was going on there. And saying, too, that if there is an overall message to be taken, it's that all sides internationally now need to engage with those involved in this conflict, or otherwise it's going to get worse if they don't pull back and many innocent civilians will be killed.
And I mean, certainly strong statements from Micheál Martin that this was a breach of humanitarian law and Israel must be held accountable for that. On the other hand, you know, no more than that phone call between Joe Biden and Benjamin Netanyahu, the first in 2 months. You know, we've been hearing from the Bob Woodward book, you know, about their bad relationship and name calling. So it doesn't seem that Israel is particularly listening very much to anyone at the moment.
No, absolutely not. But the focus is on the US, because the US has leverage here, and it just doesn't seem that Joe Biden is using it. And that's going to hurt Kamala Harris as well. And it is hurting her.
Let's come back to the Dáil for a minute. The planning bill. Is it 900 pages or 700 pages?
I think with the amendments, it gets close to 900 in the end. There's different versions, but it gets close to 900.
I actually think it's got smaller. It started out as 900. I think it's now 766. But anyway, it's a small point, really.
And you've read them all, Joe?
No, but I looked at the latest bill.
It's like Brian Cowan with the Lisbon Treaty. Did you read it? He didn't. Micheál Martin did, isn't it?
I didn't get around to reading every piece of it. But nevertheless,
it's very hard to read. It's impossible.
It is impossible to read, because you're reading clauses but subclauses. But it shows you how much work went into that. I mean, it is literally years of work.
It's the single worst piece of planning legislation in the history of the state, Ona Brent said.
And it's the third biggest win for this government, according to Dara O'Brien.
Exactly.
And the third biggest piece of legislation ever passed by the Dáil.
Don't ask what the other two were.
Yeah.
No one knows.
Is it in breach of the Our House Convention? Apparently, that was getting people very
significant
exercised.
Reassurances given there yesterday, but no one seemed to on the opposition side were buying it. Well, that's that people, from an environmental point of view, that it's in keeping with allowing people a voice to challenge it on environmental grounds. Yeah. And isn't that where kind of the thing runs into difficulty for the opposition, that they say, while you are trying to get planning through quicker, that you're cutting off people's ability to go to the courts. At least we'll say people that mightn't have huge amount of resources, those who will go to the courts now will be the really rich, that they will still be able to do it. So in many ways, there's a view that it could lead to more litigation.
And Antashka got a vote of confidence from the Dáil in the middle of it all, didn't it? There was some debate about them. Matty seemed a bit exercised.
Yes. And the Healy Rays are... Matty McGrath was particularly exercised about Antashka, again comparing them to certain groups.
Yeah, they had a they put a bill forward to remove Antashka from being a prescribed body that can make comments on planning applications on the basis that they see that they say that Antashka has been interfering with rural development and the rural economy and agriculture and all the rest of it. That was actually voted on last night as well, and I noted the result of that vote was 10 votes in favour, and it was the rest of the House against it, so that was around 139.
I think there might be some regret actually in the Green Party for bringing Mark Ruffalo on board, because if you remember...
Yes, the Hulk got involved in our planning bill.
Exactly, round. And the reason he's been so focused on green issues in Ireland is that the Green Party leadership actually brought him in 2020 to host a Zoom call with the membership to try and persuade them to endorse the programme for government. Now, he may have been quite persuasive because they did endorse it by over 70%. But Mark Ruffalo did speak to members at the time. He's taken an interest in environmental issues here. But he came out very strongly against the Green Party, said they were doing a terrible thing on this LNG, this specific designation that's gone in an amendment to the planning bill.
This is the liquid gas storage facility, which is in case we need it, in case other... Yes. Avenues of gas run out.
Green Party are adamant this is not a move towards commercial LNG. They feel it's been hugely misrepresented by Mark Ruffalo. I suppose the question is whether damage has been done to the party. Is this going to hurt their core voters? I spoke to some of them today and they said they would accept that they'd probably lost some voters anyway by going into government. You know, some absolute purists, I suppose, would never accept the compromise involved in it. They're also saying it's not really coming up on the doorsteps, but you'd have to think they have shipped a bit of damage here, because I think having somebody like Oisin Coughlan so strongly against what was done, and then Green TDs and senators had to endorse this bill, all of it. And there were other parts they didn't
people
like.
People that are normally on the same side arguing with each
exactly.
other.
Exactly. Yeah. And Micheál was mentioning the judicial reviews. A lot of Green Party TDs very unhappy with the dilution of people's ability to take judicial reviews, which was contained in this as well.
Although the Green Party had kind of made a step around the need for LNG in an emergency situation, but that the state would be in charge of it, it would be floating and it wouldn't be fracked. That step was made, but to see it actually put down in legislation then did ring alarm bells. And then Ivana Bacic saying throughout the evening last night before the vote was held that there wasn't an absolute assurance given there that it wouldn't lead to commercial LNG facilities being built in the country and that could include fracked gas. Dara O'Brien did his best to reassure, but it wasn't a...
And they were dealt a blow in the High Court as well recently because the High Court came out and said, if you remember, Eamon Ryan had secured this sort of moratorium on moving forward with any LNG while this energy security review was going on. The High Court said the moratorium couldn't hold back any moves towards LNG, and that has hit them as well. So I think it's been a bit bruising, all of that, because LNG is just so contentious within that community.
I suspect that's what we're going to hear about in the election
Definitely,
campaign, all right.
Yeah.
Madame La Guillotine was introduced for that one.
Even though Michael Healy-Ray, in his damning appraisal of the bill, said that the only thing good in it was the LNG wording, but that it didn't go far enough.
Well, they got through 177 pages of amendments that came back from the Shannon in 3 hours. So that'll just tell you it was to be dealt with last night. It was dealt with. It's now off the table.
And now
the decks are being cleared.
The other big thing it does do as well, though, isn't it? It aligns kind of the housing minister has greater say now when it comes to planning rather than local authorities, that policy will have to be completely aligned.
Well, we see what the courts say about it all, which I'm sure we're being told that there will be plenty of actions about this in time for
clarity. No one is suggesting that the president would bring in the Council of State in it or anything, which is interesting. So that's where the bill lies now.
You seem to be suggesting it now. You're posing the question.
Well, it strikes me, though, if you were to bring in the Council of State to actually look at a bill of that size, it would literally take
them... They'd have to go off for a while.
Yeah, they would have to take a long period of time.
700 to 900 pages.
All those constitutional officers, I think they'd be able for that, wouldn't they?
We're going to have statements next week, aren't we, Sandra, on child abuse. And this follows the continuing pressure on Sinn Féin over who knew what when about the McMonagall case. And this is the former official who was given references when he left the party and went to work for the British Heart Foundation while under investigation for child sex offences.
Yes, so we saw the Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou McDonald, come out on this earlier in the week. There had been sort of accusations that she'd gone to ground, but she did come out and say they're doing a full review of governance. She absolutely condemned what happened, absolutely put clear blue water between the party now and what happened at the time. The people involved have left the party. But I think these statements next week on child protection, there's the potential for it to really become quite unedifying if it ends up becoming a mudslinging match between both sides. Sinn Féin has said It's going to bring back, it's going to mention members of government, past and present, who might have written endorsements for people accused of rape or paedophilia in some way. And if it starts descending into that level, I think really, I'm not sure anybody's going to be a winner on this, but I think Sinn Féin has created some nervousness in government. You did see certainly in Fine Gael people like Regina Doherty and the Taoiseach in the Dáil and Jennifer Carroll McNeill making some running on this along with Anne Rabbitt from Fianna Fáil. But I think really they've tried to cool things down a little bit now because it's gone into a space that I'm not sure anybody really wants it to go into.
Because there are really serious questions here for Sinn Féin about who knew what when. On the other hand, some of the exchanges and bickering, frankly, that's been going on all week, tonally, is this not too serious for that? But
Yes, exactly. I think it's not where they really wanted it to end up. And the potential for, if this does happen next week, I think there's a decision today around whether it will. It may not be good for anybody.
See, there's the great currents that are sweeping around the place at the moment. The government want to concentrate on the budget and all the positive things out of it. Sinn Féin wanted to concentrate on all of the difficulties with overspending and the careless spending and all of the bicycle shed and security hut and all the rest of it, and they see the government doing very well. Fine Gael on 27% of the polls, and then the government are trying to hit back. Fine Gael trying to hit back and say, "Well, you address the issues in your own house." Mm-hmm. You know, it's all in the cauldron and context of an upcoming general election.
It's just easy sometimes when you're inside the bubble to forget what it looks like when you're outside the bubble. But selection conventions, let's wrap up with that. Have we any more news on candidates?
Coming along at pace. My latest information, Fine Gael have two selection conventions left, but they have to add on a few candidates as well.
Still no word of Dublin Bay South and whether somebody will be added to the ticket.
Yeah. It's meant to be in these days that those final decisions are going to be taken. But
yeah,
and Wicklow, didn't you have news on the Fianna Fáil?
Well, yes, Wicklow, there's been a lot. The as we speak here, they're getting ready for the convention in Wicklow tonight, the Fianna Fáil convention. And there was a lot of toing and froing there about the danger that maybe Stephen Donnelly wouldn't get the nomination. But a long-standing senator there who was...
Pat Casey
was looking very good. He had the support of all of the organisation. But he today has withdrawn from the convention. He issued a letter today saying that he was going to withdraw, that he didn't think Fianna Fáil could win two seats in Wicklow if they have two candidates, because it is a shrunken constituency. It's lost one seat now. There are five. It's going to four. So he's withdrawn. He's going to concentrate on the Shannon so Stephen Donnelly gets a clear run and gets the nomination tonight.
It's interesting, actually. You're hearing a lot of talk, aren't you, from candidates and parties. It's all very hush-hush, but there's been private polling, as you see all this jockeying for position.
They all do private polling, and then they tell
but
you...
It's
they
always
take,
very
they,
good.
They take no notice of polls, yet party headquarters are conducting private polling, I presume, all the time at the moment, because we have seen those directives. What happens is there's a selection convention and then headquarters might come along and add whoever they think they need to add to balance the ticket. In a lot of cases, it's women being added to meet the gender quotas, the 40%, or it might be a geographic thing.
It's a very tricky one for Sinn Féin, because they say they got it wrong when it came to the number of candidates in the last general election. They say they got it wrong with the local elections. So now they're trying to be as late in the day as possible and making final decisions on things. Over 50 candidates selected so far, but that number could rise to 64, but probably realistically it won't.
And then Patricia Ryan one of them.
No, not alone not running, but leaving the party as well. And some difficulties within the local organisation there, but essentially she was going to be challenged at the convention next week by a Kildare councillor called Seán Ní Rathála. So Patricia Ryan has left the field now, hasn't, I don't think, spoken yet about her reasons exactly for doing so. Mm-hmm. 10,000 votes topped the poll in Kildare South the last time.
While she was on holidays.
Yes.
Always remembered for being on holidays for part of the campaign. And that shows you what a wave can do, doesn't it? I mean, if whatever party gets that
the power
wave
of the brand.
But it was interesting, wasn't it? There was no comment from party leader Mary Lou MacDonald in the statement announcing...
just the chief whip, Padraig McLaughlin.
Yeah, and normally, you know, you would normally expect that.
And we haven't heard from Patricia Ryan, I don't think.
No, I think she's going on local radio.
Oh, is she?
KFM, I think. Okay. Kildare local radio in the morning, and
that might be interesting.
She's got something to say, I'm sure a lot of us will be tuning in to listen to all of that. So that's
I wouldn't go yet, because Alan Farrell has just written to the Ceann Comhairle seeking training for TDs and senators to be able to spot spies and foreign actors in the Oireachtas, so that TDs could be able to know what's going on, because you have to protect our precious democracy, he said. So that's,
well, that's true. But what is he exactly? Well, what does that plan?
He said they need tools. He said they need tools.
What kind of training course would that be?
Yeah.
And would that mean, like, in terms of, you know, TDs and senators doing trips abroad, you know, where you kind of share ideas and meet, would that all have to come under greater scrutiny now in this increasingly complex world?
So well, you wouldn't want to go too far.
People in trench coats with glasses reading papers, they'd have to be able to spot things like that.
The election will be called before it's this actually, has to be dealt with, I'm sure.
Yes, so. Exactly.
I mean, Farrell has written the letter, but Charlie Flanagan, the former Foreign Affairs Minister, backs that view as well. Apparently people, before they do go abroad on certain electoral monitoring and that, are told by Foreign Affairs to watch out for certain things. I don't think that it's quite an alien concept, but the TDs and senators will all have to receive it now.
Michal, you're a fount of wisdom. To you. All right, we'll leave it there and we'll talk to you again next Thursday. Good luck. Okay. Bye.